This is a topic that I have been teaching people about for a long time. Rudimentary, elementary stuff about economics. Now, I do want to mention before I get into this that, of course, war is a waste of resources in terms of industry. So obviously there's going to be an overall loss. If you look at everyone involved total, there's a loss, an economic loss. What this is about is specific people who profit in the overall loss, which is very possible and pretty much always happens in a war or any other kind of consumerism economy. So, let's talk about who can profit from war. Individuals, groups, or entire economies of a specific region or regions. Obviously, that's doesn't even need to be said, but I wanted to say it just so you can get an idea that anyone can profit from it. The next is direct proponents of the war. These could be people or groups promoting a war, or in some cases, lobbyists trying to make a foreign policy of a country more aggressive to increase the chance of war, or simply to increase military spending for stockpiles of weapons or whatever. The next is opportunists. These are people that maybe didn't have anything to do with the war, or the start of the war, I mean. But then the war happens and they see an opportunity, so they take hold of it. The next is groups or individuals indirectly related to the war effort or post-war economy. This could be many things, but imagine a company in a neutral country who provides some kind of good or service indirectly to the war effort. Maybe they provide some kind of product to a country that is making some kind of product for the war. This happens all the time in these kind of situations. Next, I put this one, groups in both public or private sectors, simply because it doesn't matter. It really rarely ever matters if a group or business is public or private. It's a non-factor, but I just want to put it there so people know. Last one, usually individuals or groups on the winning side or are neutral in the conflict profit, but this is not always the case. There is usually always some examples of a individual or group who profits, even if they were on the, if they existed within the losing country or countries, even if they were sympathetic to those countries, or and their previous governments or whatever. But let's get on to the specific examples of how to profit. Producing, selling, or delivering arms, fuel, technology, training, food, military aid, healthcare, security, vehicles, equipment, or other products and services related to the war effort. Pretty elementary, pretty rudimentary. Next is investing in corporations who are involved in these things. Again, simple concept. You invest in these corporations that do this, and you get dividends and all that kind of good stuff. Next, starting a business that provides products or services to the contracted businesses, or investing in corporations that provide products or service to the contracted businesses. So here we're dealing with more the individuals and groups who profit indirectly. Next is makes loans to the businesses noted above, or to governments, or to private militias, or anything else involved. This is dealing with banks giving out loans, generally speaking, because they will profit on the interest or the equivalent of interest, however the method is done. Next, deals with, can deal with something more direct, just simply seizing some kind of resource if you're on the victorious side. But you can be take a different strategy also and invest in any kind of new corporations or governments that are going to be coming up in that destroyed region. Some of these resources could be food, lumber, iron ore, arms, fuel, technology, education, drugs, prostitutes, and new forms of currency. Now, drugs and prostitutes, and especially sex slavery, are things that people don't want to talk about. I mean, sex slavery is common here in peacetime. In wartime, it gets even more severe, generally speaking. Last one we'll talk about is making loans to governments or businesses, directly rebuilding the infrastructure of a destroyed region, or businesses importing products or services that are in demand in the destroyed region. Now, this is just similar. This deals with banks, but instead of directly with the war effort, this is the post-war economy here, is what this is referring to. So it's all pretty simple material regarding economy and war. And this, a lot of this can be held true for any kind of economy dealing with consumerism, as I said before. Because like in war, and like in consumerism, you're just, there's a lot of waste happening, and that creates demand for more stuff. But I do want to make kind of a little example here. Something that would never happen, but you can compare it to things that actually happen. Just to keep it really simple. Okay, so there's a government who is telling its people, hey, we need to go to war and bomb this place for a good cause. Now, let's suppose these people don't have any idea what's going on outside of their borders. Say they have no information, no access to information. Now, the reason why this government wants to do this is because, well, these businesses are making bombs, and they want to sell these bombs. So they lobby in the government, or they have their friends with corrupt politicians who put this policy in place. And what ends up happening is the government can then buy these weapons and bombs. So hopefully you're following me so far. So now what happens? Or how does the government even get this money? Well, the government can print the money. They can get tax money, or they can sell bonds to individuals and groups, whether they're foreign or domestic. But either way, any way those they choose, they buy these bombs. Now, what they do with these bombs is there's actually no war. What they're going to do is going to go and just, they have this island, and they're either going to just bomb the island just for fun, or they're just going to drop all the bombs there and just let them sit. And no one lives there, so it doesn't matter. All the while, the people back at home are, you know, working these jobs to make these bombs, or working in other businesses or whatever that have started or have grown because of this effort to build all these bombs. It's just kind of a simple economic process to think about. And what ends up happening is, well, the investors in these bomb companies are making a lot of money from dividends, and the company's growing, and the company can expand and get more power to lobby for their policies. So it's just something to think about. It's a way of looking at it, because basically, that is what often happens as far as economic dynamics go. Of course, you know, they're just not flying and dropping stuff off just to produce it, but at the end of the day, it's all the same. And what ends up happening is it's bad for the people at home, and it's bad for, well, in the case of real war, it's bad for the other people too. Because, well, all this effort that's being put into making these bombs could have been put into something else. Technology, leisure, increasing standard of living, whatever.